ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another Adventures in Truth livecast. My name is Jim Case. Welcome to the show. I am excited for you to be here today. We have an incredible show today. We're going to talk about the possibility of being transformation. And my guest host today, Jerry DiStefano Weber, an amazing woman from Vancouver who has a lot of amazing things to share with us. We're going to get to meet her in a little bit here. But I want to talk a little bit about this concept of being transformation. We've been talking lately on the show. One of the things that strikes me about this time that we're in with this pandemic and the fires and the floods and all the crazy stuff going on in the elections and the governments is this idea that we have an opportunity as individuals here on this planet to excel and to expand and to grow in ways that we may never have even entertained before. And the thing about it for me is ultimately we're 7.5 billion unique sparks of life, unique sparks of God, unique sparks of the universe, unique sparks of creation. Individual 7.5 billion individual sparks that have a tremendous potential and opportunity. And on one side, you have a species that's just one of thousands and thousands of species on the planet. But because we have cognitive ability, because we think, because we do a little more than many of the other species, we've sort of overrun the planet with our species. And at some place, in some point, in some time, that's got to come into balance. That's got to right itself because we are living on an organism called the Earth, which is a living, breathing organism that supports the life that's here. So everything must stay in balance in some form or fashion. So a lot of times you hear, and I too have heard, I know my guest co-host Jerry has heard, what are we here for? Why are we here? All that kind of stuff. And I think that maybe ultimately that question may be for another day, but the thrust of it in right now, in the present moment, is how do I show up? What can I contribute? How can I be the best version of me? And some of that, I think, ties into this idea of being transformation. I'm excited to talk about this and excited to get into it. And before we do, we're going to talk a little bit about my book because I'm still so excited. It's been a month since its release. But one of the things that I think is important in transformation, is a critical part of transformation, is changing our relationship with fear. And that's what I think Fear is a Choice is about. Fear is a Choice, unraveling the illusion of our separation from love, is really about understanding our how fear evolves in our species, how fear is used, how we use fear, and how we can change that relationship with fear to go from a fear-based experience to an opportunity-based experience. And it's not impossible, but it could be challenging, but not any more challenging than a lot of the things we do in our lives. So I encourage you to go to www.adventuresintruth.com. There at my website, you'll find out more about the show. You'll find out more about where you can order the book. You'll see the order links there for Amazon and Barnes & Noble and Kindle. And it's really worth your time. It's worth your energy. And I think you'll find that it really does have an impact, and I think it can change your life because it will change your relationship with fear if you allow yourself to go there. So thanks very much for that. We're going to come right back after that, and I'm going to bring Jerry in to say hi. We'll be right back. All right. Good afternoon. Hi, Jerry. Welcome. How are you?
Hi, Jim. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Good to see you. I did a boo-boo here because I did not. I'm going to do it right here. Let's talk about Jerry for a second. So Jerry has been a practicing psychic teacher and business consultant for 30 years in the United States and Canada. She began her 10-year training as an intuitive after a series of outside shocks turned her life upside down in her early 20s. Through her training and the clarity of her mentor, she was able to gain control of her psychic abilities and launch her education in psychology. Jerry saw a natural connection between these two radically, seemingly polar opposite modalities. And as a result, she has been able to bring these two disciplines together to assist her clients and students to transform and create a life they love. Though born in Los Angeles, California, and having lived in San Francisco Bay Area and Northern California most of her life, she finally made her way to Canada, a lifelong dream. She's been in private practice for over 40 years, honoring a pledge she made when she was a baby psychic. If I ever get through these feelings of being out of control, I will spend my life helping others to get a handle on their abilities. And she says, I did and I do.
Yes.
And we are so grateful for that. I was blessed to be introduced to Jerry quite a few years ago by a dear friend of both of ours who has since passed. But I'm so blessed to have made this connection. I actually, Jerry was integral in stimulating the changes that brought me to where I am now, quite honestly. It was through working with her that I really discovered the need to change locations, and we did, and it has been nothing short of fantastic. And all of the things that I've been able to really do have been helped out a lot by what you provided and our conversations back then. So I'm blessed and grateful that you're here and so excited that we're going to have this conversation today.
Well, thanks, Jim. That's very sweet.
Absolutely.
You never know how the information is going to land or, what people are going to do with it. But, it's wonderful.
It is.
Go ahead.
No. I was going to sort of get us started before I dive into our daily meditation here. The possibility of being transformation. Tell me what just... We're going to get into this and we're going to chew this puppy really good. But tell me what being transformation, and if you can distill that down a little bit, what does that mean?
I think that when we go from saying, I want to transform, usually it means I want to transform my relationships, my job, my body. And some of those fixes, can take place and they can stay in place for a little while. But as we know, they tend to repeat themselves over and over and over again. But when we take ownership and when we get the idea that we are the possibility of being transformation, what does that mean? It opens up a whole completely different vista, a different view of what transformation can mean. And that transformation, at least the way I try to work with it, really happens on that cellular level. And as cells change and as view and attitudes change, and as we can begin to create more space within ourselves by getting rid of all those fears and files and programs, we begin to experience a level of presence within, right?
Love
and
that
beingness. So being transformation for me is that direct connection with the soul and the will of the soul. Like I might want to do all kinds of things, but in fact, what does my soul have in store for me? Why am I here? So that being, that act of being transformation, it's a very different different spin, different way of looking at it.
Well, and I think the thing that's so profound in it, as soon as I read the words, Jerry and I were back and forth a little talking about topic, because I always want our conversations to be ones that we both drive into and really get into. And she sent back as we were talking and said this becoming or being transformation. And it just lit me up like a Christmas tree because I went, oh, that's so perfect right now because we are so used to, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with some of the concepts that I use a lot, but I believe transformation is a be, do, have process, meaning we start in beingness and out of beingness, we're inspired to the doingness. It's out of beingness that we get inspiration to step into things. And when we do it that way, then we create, and in the creation, the having happens naturally. And so being transformation is such a profound thing because doing transformation is exactly what you said at the beginning. Yeah, I can lose some weight. Yeah, I can change how I feel. Yeah, I can read a book and feel better. But when you embody transformation, when you be in that energy, you're suddenly, there's no resistance. You're not trying to do anything. You're not trying to force anything. You're not trying to, what's the word I want? You're not trying to beat it into existence like we tend to want to do as humans.
Oh yeah.
We allow it to unfold within in us. Yeah. And again, the key, we're allowing it in beingness, we're allowing it to unfold within us. Instead of looking for that thing that, and it's not saying that some of these things and these teachers and these ideas aren't useful, but they have to be integrated. They have to come internal so that they can then transform and create a new experience for us.
Exactly right.
So I love that. I love that. So that's why I'm excited about this conversation. And as we get started, I'm going to dive in here. Now that we kind of set the stage, I like to do a little bit of a meditation to kind of bring everybody who's listening, bring all our energies together so that focused energy can bring about the deepest, most powerful information and support to all of us, you know, because again, that I think is part of being transformation.
Right on.
Oh my gosh, just cracks me up sometimes. I love this stuff. Jerry, it's wonderful to have you here. We'll see you on the other side. We'll be right back.
Thanks.
All right, guys. So glad you're here today. Thank you for being here. Let's dive in. So wherever you are, let's get comfortable. Let's just get comfortable with right now where we are and just become aware of your awareness in this moment. Let your eyes close. Feel your feet on the ground, or at least feel yourself connected and grounded. And just become aware of where your consciousness is focused right now. More than likely in a lot of places. But just begin to observe. You don't have to push or pull or nothing. Just observe. Is it the dog barking that you hear? Is it the cars driving by? Is it your internal battle about the election? Is it how you feel? Is it a relationship issues or relationship good stuff? Is it work stuff? Where is your consciousness now? And I appreciate that part of your consciousness is here with us. And now that you've observed where it is, now I want you to consciously take that consciousness and draw it into your body. I literally want you to feel your consciousness coming into your body, into your chest, into your heart space. Just gently call your consciousness to your heart. Just bring it all into the chest, inside the body. I want you to experience your consciousness inside your body and recognize that you have the ability at any moment to choose where your consciousness focuses. Let that consciousness roam around the inside of your head for a minute. Just be on the inside of your own head. What is that experience like? Let that consciousness move down through your neck and into your shoulders and into your arms. And notice how it feels. What are you observing? You don't have to do anything. You don't have to touch or move or push or pull. Just observe. If as that consciousness is moving and you observe some discomfort, focus there for just a second, breathe into it, and then let it go. And move on. Let the consciousness continue through your torso. Be conscious of what's happening inside your body. Feel all of your organs. Be a part of what's happening on the inside of your body. Let that consciousness travel down your legs, all the way down your feet. Good. And now that all that awareness is inside your body, I want you to focus even more now and bring that focus specifically into your breath. Focus all of your conscious awareness in your breath. How are you breathing? Are you breathing? Obviously, you're breathing if you're sitting here. When I say, are you breathing? Are you aware of your breathing? Where do you breathe in your body? Do you breathe in your belly? Does your breath sit up high in your chest? Do you feel it in your back? Do you feel the breath expand 360 degrees, or do you just feel the chest rise and fall? Feel your breath. I believe as a part of transformation, breath is the foundation of our experience because breath is life force. Breath is chi. Breath is prana. Breath is all of those things that reference the life force in us. It is what animates us. So when we learn to manage the breath, we learn to manage our energy. And so we're going to carry this into a short breathing exercise. You're going to inhale to a count of four. We're going to fill completely to a count of four. And then you're going to rest in that fullness for just a moment. And then you're going to exhale through the mouth to a count of six. And the reason we do that is to purge all of the old stale energy and breath that's in the lower parts of the lungs. And then we're going to rest for just a moment in the emptiness so that we can learn the comfort that empty is just as comfortable as full. It's just different. So with all of that focused awareness into the heart space, into the breath, let's begin inhaling through the nose to a count of four. Inhale, two, three, four. We're full. We're relaxed. And then we're releasing through the mouth. One, two, three, four, five, six. Excellent. Now rest in that emptiness. Rest in that emptiness. Engage the lungs. Inhale through the nose. One, two, three, four. Full. Hold and release from the mouth. Two, three, four, five, six. Resting in the void, resting in the emptiness. And now engage again as you inhale, pulling in all that energy and fresh energy and air, breathing three, four, I'm full, I'm relaxed in my fullness. And now I'm releasing, whew, letting it all go, two, three, four, five, six. And then we rest in the emptiness. And I'll ask you to continue on your own, inhaling to that four, filling completely, filling, filling, feeling that fullness, and then surrendering it, releasing it from the mouth, letting it go, purging, moving all of the air and energy out as you reach the bottom, and feeling the peace and the emptiness as you continue. Continue to feel the fullness of the breath on the inhale and the exhale as much as you do at the top and at the bottom. And while you continue to breathe consciously, keeping your focus deep in the breath and within your heart, I want you to take in these words, let them wash over you. Let them fill you, or let them pass through. I am the evolution of God. Realized as matter. I inform and guide that expression as the pure expression of God. I show up as God. I connect as God. I align as God. I am creation realized. And from that, I create, I expand, I engage. I am. And feel the body respond to that. Feel the body breathe into that. Good. And just be with that now. Be in that space. And now begin to allow your consciousness to move outside of your body once again. Just gently. You don't have to let it go anywhere particular. Just let it relax and expand again. Bringing yourself back into this space in this moment with us. As I bring Jerry back into studio as we carry on this amazing conversation about the possibility of being transformation. I ask you to open and be receptive to that potential in you. And we welcome Jerry back. Hi, welcome back.
Thank you. That was wonderful. Thank you, Jim.
You're very welcome. Thank you. All right. So back to the topic at hand, being transformation. So what do you think? We're going to go through, I kind of set up three steps here, and there may be more, there may be less, but I wanted to kind of break it down into some basic steps that we can talk about as we go along here. Mm-hmm. But let's tear into this a little more on this being transformation piece so that our viewers and listeners can really get a sense of what that's about. I think we got a good start. So let's take that a little further.
Right. I think that I want to go back a little bit to my life upside down. I, being raised in Los Angeles and being in college and having a boyfriend and, you know, all of that good stuff, it all seemed very normal. But I never quite felt exactly normal. I realized, especially when I was in high school, and even as a young child, that, you know, people would be speaking words, mm-hmm. but I always knew what they were really speaking. Mm-hmm. And I would respond to what they were really speaking. Now, try to do that with an eighth grade nun. It doesn't work.
No.
My good Ukrainian mother really understood that I was different and psychic, and her mother was in Vegreville, Canada, the village witch, and she certainly did not want me to go into that direction. So I suppressed a lot of stuff. After I moved to the Bay Area, it wasn't that long after, I remember waking up one morning and my husband walked into the kitchen and I could see through his body suddenly. Wow. And I saw all of his organs and I saw all these lights around his body. And I really thought that I was going absolutely psychotic.
No kidding.
Really. And so did he, actually. It was a deal breaker for him. So I suddenly was not married and pretty much going fetal. But the bottom line is, I remember being referred to this woman who was a psychiatric social worker. And I explained to her, I said, look, in the diagnostic manual here, you know, all of these things about psychosis, I'm experiencing all that stuff. And as she listened to me, she said, you know, no, that's not true. She said, I think you're just opening up psychically. How lucky was that?
That's amazing.
And I said, what does that mean, psychic? And she said, well, you know, you've got these extra little abilities. So for me, I understood that feeling of not quite normal and then trying to be normal and taking on all the programs, all the patterns that were being shot at me to be normal. And then suddenly looking at, oh, I'm transforming. Something's transforming. Mm-hmm. But I didn't understand it. I didn't understand that word. You know, like back in the 70s and 80s, especially the 70s in the Bay Area, there was a whole humanistic psychology movement. Mm-hmm. And it was all about transformation, all about it. But I still couldn't get a handle on it. And after 10 years of training, I started doing readings, and suddenly I got really present to the fact that I couldn't remedy anything. I couldn't assist anybody in their growth in a 1 hour reading. It was impossible. They came to me because they wanted change in their life. Mm-hmm. And here I am. I'm not even understanding what change is in some ways. Yeah. So going back to school, getting a degree in psychology, and being able to see the intersection between, you know, psychology as it's being taught and this whole world of the intuitive, I started to see that there was this natural connection between these two systems. Mm-hmm. You know, what looks like psychosis is actually can be a spiritual emergency.
Yeah.
You know, suddenly, for whatever reason, people open up and they're out of control. You know, schizophrenia can be a situation where past lives are somehow bleeding through mm-hmm. into the consciousness.
Yeah.
So, you know, in any event, this really led me into really needing to teach my students and work with my clients in a way where whatever files they were holding in their chakras, in their centers, in their consciousness, whatever those files were, they needed to be really unpacked. They needed to be looked at. They needed to be, well, I call it deleted. You know, we never really delete the full memory of it.
Right.
But we come into a different perspective. And in that deletion of all of that stuff, all of those files, what happens is that we create this amazing level of spaciousness within yes. us. And we become mm-hmm. really present to a different quality of energy mm-hmm. that is beginning to work within. And this, I believe, is the real beginning step towards transformation.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I love, as you're talking, I'm thinking about how I perceive transformation in the context of what you're describing. And it's so interesting because I have a very similar path, only from a completely different perspective, meaning transformation in of itself can be something that happens in a moment. And it does happen in a moment. But it's also really a process. It's a crossing over from what I mean, just look at the word. You're going across form. You're changing the form of what you understand yourself to be. And like for me, that I find that there's levels of that. So when you first become aware, like you had your psychic abilities, I had my intuition and I had my energy, that I could see energy. I could see how it connected. I could see how things worked. But even in that, the process of transformation was peeling off, you were talking about files, and to me, it was just peeling off all of the conditioning that I came in with regard to everything. And that was the most challenging aspect, because that's the place where we fight the strongest to maintain what the ego thinks is the right to live. What the ego thinks is, this is, you're earthbound, dude. You're doing the earth thing. And I'm like, So the reason I'm bringing this up is I want people to understand that the process of transformation is an arc, and it's not necessarily easy, but it's necessary, and it's challenging more so, I think, at the beginning, because once you lose all that baggage and you create that space, now you can see things that you could never see before. So you can interact in energy in a different way than you used to. So it becomes less difficult because you're not as attached to the things you see as you evolve past that initial packet of garbage that you're trying to get rid of. You know what I mean? And that to me is extraordinary, because I wouldn't change anything about the process. And there was 10 years of my life that I was just like, this is nuts. You know, because every time I turn around, I'd run into a new paradigm. I'd work so hard to understand a particular paradigm when working with my teacher and working with, you know, my mentor, trying to grasp a paradigm of selfishness or selflessness or something that was of a spiritual nature that I was not doing well with. And the struggle you go through to surrender that viewpoint so that you can just simply find a new one. And flash forward, you know, past that time where now it's not even an issue. If it creates resistance, it's gone. You know, I don't have time for that. You know,
well, you know, you put your time in, you yes. know, you
really and we do. All have to.
That's the thing. I believe that we get outside shocks, and those outside shocks create the necessary friction for us to really grow and to really unpack some of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But the thing is even when we unpack the files, even when we get a sense of a different view, you know, our minds are really tricky.
That is for sure.
They can latch on to a concept and think that they are excelling at this particular concept, when in fact the underpinning, the foundation, is still struggling, still being challenged.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, I've got students that have been really using tremendous effort for the last 6 years. And yeah, their lives are really definitely different. There's no question about it. But it's like unpeeling an onion, mm-hmm. you know? And you begin to really understand that this is a process that mm-hmm. goes on, right? Probably for lifetimes.
I'm thinking that's probably true. Joe, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to dive into these steps. The first one being looking at cultivating being. But we're going to go to a quick commercial. When we come back from the commercial, you're going to get to talk to our audience, and you guys are going to get to meet Jerry up close and personal. She's going to talk to you a little bit about what she does. And that'll be a quick segment, and then we'll come back to the conversation and pick up here where we are. So bear with us. We'll be back in just a moment. We are back, and I'm going to turn it over to Jerry for a minute here. Hi, everybody. Say hi to Jerry.
Hi. Well, I really appreciate the opportunity to be with you, Jim. Your book has been a real help to some of my students, I must say. Where to begin? My work is a real intersection between psychology and intuitive work, and what it allows. I mean, I don't think either system can really give people all the different tools that they need. And I think by bringing these two things together, it's really been helpful. So my work consists of psychic readings. The things I'm interested in when I do a reading have to do a lot with early childhood trauma and the kinds of programs that people accumulate over time and where those files can create blocks along the system. And so I really try to give people strategies for how to work with those flocks and how to get a system that is a lot more clear and effective. The other piece of the work that I do is that I train. I'm a teacher, and I started out almost 45 years ago, in fact, doing really basic psychic development classes. But over time, what I understood is that psychics very often are not as effective or objective as they could be, because they have biases. We're human. You know, I might not like, lipstick, what I used to call lipstick ladies when I was a hippie in San Francisco. Bouffant hairdos and lipstick made me crazy. And of course, those are the kind of people that my teacher always brought in for me to read, always. So what I try to do and what I do in my classes is I really work with psychic training on the level of clearing the system, being aware of the biases, so that when people are employing those abilities that I believe are naturally hardwired into our circuits, into our DNA, what that does is that it allows people to get a much more objective view and to be much more effective as a reader. Or I don't just train readers. There have been all different kinds of people that have gone through the training, artists, writers, doctors, psychiatrists, nurses, teachers, musicians, performers. A lot of different people have come to open up those abilities so that whatever they're doing, they're actually doing it fuller, better, and creating a life that they love. And I've been doing a lot of Zoom work. You know, mm-hmm. COVID has really upped my Zoom technical abilities, I must say.
No doubt. So people can reach you at your website. Is that correct? Is there a better place?
Actually, I think that I probably would like to put my email address out.
Okay. Well, go ahead and give it to me and I'll put it up for them.
So it's drpsychic47 at, believe it or not, AOL.com.
47 at AOL.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to put that.
I've got students in Holland and in the States and in Canada. Technology has really allowed us to do the work, which is really good.
Fantastic. All right. Well, that was awesome and great to hear about all the cool things that you have going on. Some of that I didn't even know you had going on, which is pretty cool. So let's dive in. We've got about 15 minutes or so. So we're going to dive into these three steps real quick here.
Okay.
And just talk about briefly, we'll each share our experience of each of the steps, and then we'll carry on to the next one and go from there and see how we're doing. So step one, cultivate being. What are your suggestions or ideas or thoughts about how we cultivate being?
I think that the major way that we cultivate being is by being present. We don't understand how we're not present, that we're on automatic 99% of our day.
Yeah.
And the minute we become present in our body, present to what is going on around us, absolutely present, we are in a state of being.
Yes, I agree. I think that being, cultivating being is in part learning about the quietness. It's learning how to be quiet, and it's different. You know, I did a show a while back about busting the meditation myth, because everybody talks about meditation, but there's really not a lot of, there's a lot of mysticism that occurs through meditation, but the process is not that. The process is very straightforward. It's about getting quiet. It's about becoming observant of the process, like we did in my meditation today, just looking and watching and observing and staying focused in the breath, to me, because the breath sets that foundation. So I think there are a multitude of ways to get to being. It's a question of how do you cultivate it, because each of us is a unique individual. So if you happen to be a writer, you may find that you can find more presence in by using your writing to bring you into that state of being, because it brings you fully present to what you're experiencing right now. Same thing with musicians or people who do sports, particularly if they're doing sports as a lifestyle, that it engages you in such a way that you become fully present, because you kind of have to in order to
be effective. Yeah, you do.
So that's kind of cool. So cultivating the being. So we kind of have an idea of how that's going to evolve. And then to me, going from being really sets up the next step, which is about being the observer. And I did a little research, Jared, this being in the world, but not of it, is actually a religious thing. I didn't realize it actually came out of the Bible. I didn't realize that particular phrase came out of the Bible. But being the observer to me is about that you can observe the world. You can see the things. That's a lot about what my book is about in changing your relationship with fear. You can see everything coming at you as objects in the field of your awareness instead of objects slapping into everything that you are. It becomes a whole different process. That would be my experience. What would you say about that?
Well, do you agree with it? I've amended that phrase, and I'm going to take it out of the Gurdjieff teachings, which is...
Yeah, we're going to do that in step three.
Ah, okay.
And that's okay. That's okay. Take us there.
The observer, being the observer is really essential. That ability to stand outside of yourself as well to observe oneself. Mm-hmm. A lot of people observe, they're observers in the world and they're observing the world. And no, you don't have to get slapped around. But what does it take to actually be able to stand outside of yourself and observe and witness when you're in automatic behavior, mm-hmm. when you're out of present time, when you're reacting rather than responding, when you're embroiled in a negative emotion rather than in alignment, right? And yeah. So we don't really know we're not naturally called to observe ourselves in that way.
Right. We've actually we've been trained out of that experience, actually.
Yeah. 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 And it's a very important part, to be witness and observer to oneself and also to the world around you.
There's a piece of this about being the observer that I found very helpful. And that is there is the nattery that goes on in your head all the time. There's the never-ending dialogue that goes on.
Monkey mind.
But there is another voice. And it is a voice that, in my experience, has never changed throughout my entire life. It's been a consistent presence, literally, for as far back as I can remember. That they call it the small still voice or the still small, whatever that is. I just know it as a other, not monkey mind. It is that energy of clarity. It is that energy of connection. That's what happens when you cultivate the being process as you become the observer. If you stop any human being listening to us right now, if you stopped yourself for just a moment and differentiated those two voices, you would find a tremendous step into your own transformation, because you'll recognize, and probably to Jerry's point when she was very young, that was crazy train talk. What do you mean there's two voices in my head?
I never question it.
But that's
not when I was a kid.
But there's a distinct difference between the two. And in my experience, that other voice is always uplifting. That other voice is always forward moving, where the mind, which can quiet itself to a lovely tone and give you a lovely words about, doesn't take you to that uplifted space. It takes you to a spin cycle. And they're very different. They're very, very different. So that's just one other piece that I thought would be important there. If people are looking for, well, what is this observer thing? It is that other voice, not the mind chatter. And if you can focus into that, it will help you in being able to cultivate the observer a little bit more along with the quietness. Please.
Indeed.
Oh, I thought you were going to add something to that. Nope. But now we're going to segue. So I got to tell you guys, this between the title of, between the being transformation and this next piece, do not be in life. Use life to do the work. Those two things in our conversation just lit me up. I love this, and I would love for you to take the lead on this one.
This phrase from George Gurdjieff, who was a teacher, who brought a lot of Eastern and Western thought together. I think he was really our first psychologist in a way. He, do not be in life. I mean, that really sounds kind of awful in a way, right? What does that mean?
Yeah.
But being in life in terms of the work is a kind of an enmeshment. You know, we get really submerged into the ambient energy of whatever the environment is, whatever the patterns and programs are. And what we have to do is we have to be able to pull out of that, draw out of that. It doesn't mean that we're not engaged. It doesn't mean that we're not functioning. It doesn't mean that we're sitting up on a mountaintop somewhere. No, it doesn't mean that at all. But it does mean to not let life overtake us in the way that when we look around, we can see people being overtaken by memes and fear and so much stuff.
Yeah.
So then, okay, so I'm not in life, right? I got it. I'm an observer, a witness in a way. I'm not reacting. But life is going to dish up any number of challenges, outside shocks, unpredictable events. Now, what happens when those things happen? Am I going to run under the blanket and go fetal or meditate with my master on the mountaintop? No, I'm going to use those opportunities to apply what I'm learning. Be the observer, be present, be in your body, listen to that will of your soul, right? Yeah. Open up to the possibility of being transformation, do the work. And then when you really understand what that phrase means, the work becomes that organic, natural next step that we know how to take in our life.
Yeah.
Right? It happens naturally. You know, we have such a view that we can really see, this is where the will of my soul, my purpose in life, intersects with the present need right there.
Right? I love that. It's so, in a way, and I don't, not as a diminishing, but it's sort of, I really believe in the path of least resistance. And when I say that, I mean, I think resistance, while it's on the planet, is ultimately, it's useful to a point, and it's useful to a point in our evolution, but there is a point in our evolution in consciousness where it just becomes annoying, you know, where you just, you know, like for me, I kind of live by the experience of, if I'm feeling resistance, I step back. I don't engage it, because it simply means the energies aren't coming together. So let's not go there. So why am I saying this? to what you're saying, use life to do the work. Here we are right now. Let's be present in right now, this moment. We have a pandemic going on that's raging across the planet. We have a bizarro election happening in this country, as well as bizarro elections happening all over the world. We have fires, we have floods, we have hurricanes, we have, I mean, it's just like a barrage of those events that you were talking about.
It's huge.
And here we have this amazing opportunity to use life to do the work. Don't be in the life. Don't be caught up in all that drama. Don't be caught up. Be aware of it. Be aware that it's there. Be aware that it's happening because you live on this planet. You want to engage with what the world, but simply stop it there. Don't engage in it. Don't become a part of it. Now I'm going to bring my unique, you know, if we talk from the beginning of the show, 7.5 billion unique sparks of creation on this planet. You and you and you and you and you and you and you all have work to do here. Use this time, use your life in this capacity to create the momentum to the transformation, the momentum to the being transformation, by simply allowing this time to inform you to take a step in the direction of you.
Right.
And but then from you, it goes out to the world.
What is the purpose of life?
That's always an interesting question. To me, at least at this point in my experience, is to experience. It is to embrace the experience of being on the planet and then allowing whatever the light that I came into this world with, to find whatever way I can to bring that light forward more every single day. And I'm not always successful. I'm not always, you know, I don't always go bright every day, but I do strive to not let my light diminish when I don't feel that way. That I'm going to keep my light right here. I've got stuff to deal with in the present, in my now. I'm being present in my now. So I want to be, and in that, then I can continue to move forward. But as far as the life experience, it's a challenge because we think we come here to become a doctor or become an auto mechanic or to become a something. And the something we're here to become is right here. It's right here. This is what we're supposed to become. And those things are just tools to help us get there from here. That's how you do not be in life. Mm-hmm. That's how you use life. You go, oh, okay, well, I'm going to do this for a while because it's going to bring these elements of me forward. Mm-hmm. And if you're choosing things that don't bring elements of you forward, stop now and find other things to do.
I'm going to keep it really simple.
Please. Okay.
I think the purpose of life ultimately is to wake up.
Oh, I like that.
Period. That's
I'm
it.
I'm going to sit back in my chair for that one. To wake up.
Just wake up.
Brilliant. And again, if you apply it to all that we are experiencing now, it's all that's being asked from every direction. Wake up, wake up, wake up.
Yeah. Wake up. The planet said months ago, y'all gotta wake up because, you know, you're going way too fast and you're on automatic and I'm hitting the pause button on you. And look at what happened for months there. The air was clean. The birds were singing. Yeah. You know, it was amazing.
And you would think, too much for some.
And you would think that people would want that and want more of it.
Yeah.
But what are they doing? They're just going back. Wake up, wake up.
Okay. That was a beautiful question and an even better answer. So as we come full circle here, we're at full circle here. I am thrilled that we have gotten to have as much of this conversation as we did, because I was concerned that it was such a big topic that we would end up being stuck in one area because there's so much to flesh out. And I think that we can do that in another time is go into more minutiae if it's necessary. But I hope all of you out there that have been watching and listening found some nuggets for yourself in this hour, that being transformation is not only a necessity, but it's accessible, that it's available, and it's available as soon as you choose it. It isn't something you have to wait around for. You don't have to order it on Amazon and wait till it ships. It's here. It's in this moment, right here, right now. Wake up. That's going to make me laugh for the rest of the night. I'm going to be walking around, and I'm going to go, wake up, you know?
I love it.
Love that.
Thank you, Jim, very much.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure having
you. That was
you.
A very and quick hour. Thank you.
I'm telling you, that flew. I'm like, wait, it's already over? What's going on over here? What was I going to say about that? I don't know. I lost my train of thought. But anyway, Jerry, would you like to take a minute to share your closing thoughts on this idea of the possibility of being transformation and some nugget that or whatever strikes your heart that you think our listeners would love to hear about how to bring this to a close?
There are so many tools that we can draw from in terms of transformation. And really quickly, when Jim gave me the PDF of his book, I actually gave that PDF to one of my students, a young man I've known since he was 7 years old. And he is now a young man, 23, 24 years old. Wow. And his main thing has been fear. He's got a father he hadn't seen ever practically for most of his life. And he was too afraid to punch that number, to call his dad up. And he read Jim's book, and guess what? He hit that button.
Wow.
And met with his father. And in that moment, he was transformed, literally. I mean, I could see him taller, definite, grounded, because he was willing to absolutely confront his fear. And that book, so I'm saying that Jim, myself, all kinds of other people, there are so many pathways towards this process. And you will find the exact right one.
Yeah. And that's the other thing about being 7.5 billion unique sparks of divine creation is that you've got at least that many options. You know?
Yeah,
I would. If you think it's appropriate, I would love to send him a signed copy of the book.
Oh, thank you. That would be.
I would love it, and we can talk about that after we go off the air.
But, thank you.
I am again so grateful that you're here, and I love that closing was beautiful. And thank you for that. This has been an amazing conversation, guys. www.adventuresintruth.com to learn more about the show, book, all that kind of good stuff. Reach out to Jerry if you're looking for support what do I do with it? Where'd it go? I was trying to do your, there it is. Get your email address up there, drpsychic47@aol.com if you might want to get a reading with Jerry or to learn more about her classes and to get involved in the work she's doing. Again, here are just two examples. My program is up and running, and the science of transformation is a powerful tool for changing that consciousness of fear into a consciousness of opportunity. So, like, even in this opportunity here, you have lots of options to explore how you can be transformation. So have an amazing, amazing weekend. Thank you for being here. Please, if you think about it, go like, hit the bell. If you're on YouTube, if you're on Facebook, please subscribe. Share this. The more we can get out there to people and reach people, that's ultimately what this is about for me, is do the work. And this is using life to do the work. And I hope that you all get that option and you all step into that option fully and completely. And
amen.
And I think that's it for today. Jerry, I'll see you on the other side. We're just going to do a quick closing. Thank you all very much for being here. Have an amazing weekend, y'all.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth podcast. Thank you for joining us. We'd love to connect with you. Please like us on Facebook and subscribe on YouTube. To learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, or to book a session with Jim, you can email us at adventuresintruth@gmail.com or you can join us on the web at www.adventuresintruth.com. Tune in next time for another great Adventures in Truth podcast.